Second.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Sorry. All right. Let the minutes show the adequate notice of this meeting as required by PL 1975, Chapter 231 has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Times of Trenton, posted on the Township Bulletin Board and filed with the Township Clerk on the same date. And next, I would like to, everyone please stand silently from a moment of reflection. After we say the Pledge of Allegiance, please stand silently for a moment of reflection and respect, remembering those who in the past have served our country and for those who presently serve. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, one more second. Got too many windows open. All right, but now the roll call.
Vice Chairman Bartholomew.
Here.
Mr. Conoscente.
Here.
Mr. Ferrara.
Here.
Mr. Lambros.
Here.
Mr. Morelli.
Here.
Mr. Mostyn.
Here.
Chairman Novellino, absent. Mr. Mangiano,
here.
Ms. Zabrowski,
here.
All right, next is the approval of the minutes. I saw them, it looked good, but I did not, since I did not attend, I cannot approve them. Does anybody else have any comments or any changes they want to make at this time? If not, then I'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes of June 23rd, 2021.
I'll make it.
I'll second it, Mr. Kocher.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call.
Mr. Conoscente?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, that takes us now to our applications. The first one is Z21-02. This is a carried application. It's Kevin Young's, located on 32 Palmer Court, Palmer Circle. Excuse me.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm finally
Mr. here. Mr. Bella, just one moment. It's Tony. I have to step down for this, being that the applicant is my neighbor.
Okay, you're within 200 feet. Pursuant to municipal land use law, you have a conflict, so you could mute yourself, however you want to do it in the Zoom, yep. In the Zoom world, I should say.
I will mute and okay. Sit on the side. Thank you.
Okay. For the record, I reviewed notice of joining property owners and affidavit of publication. They are in order, and the board has jurisdiction to hear this matter. As we do in its normal course, we pre-mark certain exhibits, which I don't know. Do we have, I didn't see an exhibit list, or should I just do my own?
Mr. Vella, the only exhibit was the revised plans that I had sent in after speaking with Mr. Procaccini about things that could and could not be done. We sent in revised plans after the first meeting was adjourned. That would be what we'd be going off of.
Okay, well, we're going to do this. We're going to mark as A1 the application. We'll mark as A2 is the survey. And these are all, by the way, all these documents for the record are online and available to the public. Next is A3, the architectural drawings prepared by Grasso Design Group, as A3. Application for a zoning permit will be A4, which was the denial, which we're appearing, which says floor plan creates a second dwelling. That's what the appeal is. That's A4. We're going to mark our own exhibit, which is our planner's report dated June 7, 2021, as ZB1. And you have updated architecturals, correct?
Yes, Mr. Bellin.
And what's the date of those?
The date of those, I believe, is June 23rd, but let me, yes, June 23rd, 2021.
I will mark that as A5. Okay, members of the board, this is an appeal of a zoning officer determination, which we marked as A4, which the applicant submitted certain plans. The zoning officer on 5/20/2021 denied same, saying the floor plan creates a second dwelling. And, of course, this is a family zone and two family home is not a permitted use and would require a D variance. So the applicant has appealed that determination, and it says, well, wait a minute, I'm not creating a two-family. The zoning officer is wrong. Please reverse his decision. So that is the basis where we're at. Counsel, you could do your enter your appearance, and you can start your application.
Thank you, Mr. Bellin. My name is Adam Tuttle. I'm an attorney from Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Youngs, who is the owner of 32 Palmer Circle, block 17.02, lot 1 in the township of Millstone. We had originally submitted plans. Mr. Youngs has an elderly mother who's had, unfortunately, several health issues over the past 2 years. Due to those health issues, they both actually sold their homes in New Milford, New Jersey, and used the proceeds from that to purchase this home in 32 Palmer Circle. Originally, Mr. Youngs was trying to add certain items to the new structure. After speaking with Mr. Procaccino, we have removed several of those items, and we've also created a completely unfettered access between the existing structure and the proposed structure. There is a
I apologize.
Okay, there's a 6-foot opening where the new where an additional front door will be put, creating a mudroom. There's a 6-foot opening going into the existing structure, and there's no door going into the new structure. It's a completely unfettered access. When speaking with Mr. Procaccino, he told me that because there's a new front door, the board would have to approve it because of, you know, obviously the look of maybe creating a second dwelling. That is not the case here. The reason for the additional front door, besides keeping in the landscape of the community where a majority of the homes do have multiple front doors, is it will be easier for his mother. Unfortunately, as she gets older, there may be need for a ramp access or for an easier access to the portion of the residence where she will spend most of her time. That's the reason for the additional front door. There's no kitchen in this addition. There's no back door in this addition. It's simply a living area for his mother, as well as a bedroom, a bath, her own laundry facility, and a smaller room known as a den. You know, she is an Italian woman. She does like to have her friends over, and they want to have their own space. So there is a nice living area where she can do that. But other than that, there is no separate access to this addition, as there's unfettered access between the original dwelling and the proposed addition. For those reasons, I don't feel that this causes a second dwelling, and by no means would cause a two-family living situation, as the addition does not have a kitchen, nor does it have its own unfettered, you know, sole access to that area. The second front door, which is in keeping with the neighborhood, goes into both the existing structure and the addition. For those reasons, we feel that determination was incorrect and would ask for the board to approve the plans as written.
Okay. Do you have any witnesses?
I can call my client so that we can talk about his intentions.
Well, you made a lot of statements that things are in compliance with the neighborhood or everything else. You're the attorney. So do we have any witnesses? Because we need to, let me cut you off. What we need to discuss, this is an appeal of the zoning officer determination that's dated 5/20/2021. So we need to talk about what was in the plans that were submitted prior to 5/20/21. What was in that plans and what was that determination? Everything that occurred after 5/20/21 is really irrelevant to this determination because you're appealing a zoning officer determination. If you change plans, and I've told you this before, and you want to rely on change plans, you need a new zoning officer's determination. So let's stick with what you originally filed on 5/20/21. Why don't you have your witness testify to the plans that were submitted, what was proposed, was there a kitchen, the mud, what, and everything that was proposed with respect to that, so the board could understand what's being proposed as from your client.
Not a problem, Mr. Vella. I will call Kevin Youngs as the witness. He is the homeowner of 32 Palmer Circle in Millstone.
Hey, Darren. Kevin Youngs, 32 Palmer Circle.
Hi, Mr. Young. Please raise your right hand.
Yes, sir.
You swear affirm the following testimony about to give is the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
No, sir. I do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, counsel, your witness, let's get started out with what you applied for prior to 5/20. We have the zoning officer's determination. Then we'll have Ms. McKinley go over her report, which was based on that determination.
Okay. Mr. Youngs, when you first submitted the plans to the town, what were those plans and how were they designed?
Just like you had stated, an addition from my mother, and we originally had a kitchen, and we didn't have the mudroom.
Okay, and the kitchen was taken out, though, correct?
Kitchen's taken out. There was a back door I didn't want. We took that out. We took out – the kitchen actually kind of worked out anyway because we actually feel that she can no longer cook by herself anyway. With that being said, we were we added a mudroom. We opened up the wall from the main structure of the house into the addition. But to give her little sense of privacy, you know, at her earlier, you know, her later years, you know, this is what we decided to do. And obviously you can't listen to realtors. I'm in the real estate business anyway. And we were kind of told when we were looking for the house at the time that it would be a simple task. You know, you could definitely do what we were looking to do. And not that that's neither here nor there, but, you know, that's what we were told to do. Like I said, the plans were it was going to be a kitchen. It was not going to be a mudroom. It was not going to be cut off. But now, after speaking with everybody, I mean, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. And, you know, I just don't want her living in the basement anymore is what it really comes down to. And I didn't think that I was going to take this long to get this accomplished, but I guess I was wrong.
All right. As for the additional front door, is that in keeping with the neighborhood as currently
I would say almost 100%, 40, I think 48 out of the 49 houses have that same exact look that we're trying to do in my neighborhood.
Okay. So there's no intention by you in trying to use this property as a two family home.
Absolutely not. No chance. No.
Okay. The only intention is obviously to house your mother.
Of course.
Who's advanced in age and you need her to stay with you at this point.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay. And I mean, no further questions.
Let's be very clear. When you originally applied, there was, an additional front door, correct?
Yes.
There was a mudroom, a living room, a kitchen, full bath, laundry, master bedroom, and den.
No mudroom. There was a front door. There was a back door, but there wasn't a mudroom.
Okay. Was there a kitchen?
Yes, there was.
Can I ask a question? The kitchen's still there. You show it.
No, it's not. It's just a sink. It's just going to be a sink and a small counter for herself. We're going to put some cabinets up there, but no
that's
kitchen.
That's not kitchen?
No stove. No, absolutely not. No stove. No, I mean, I don't.
Well, let's take a step. Hold on. This is where I don't want to go. This is not an application. If this was a regular application for setback variance or anything else, you could amend those tonight and say, hey, I'll move it 5 feet instead of 2 feet. Okay. Because it's a living application. This is an appeal from a zoning officer determination. There's a timestamp here. Okay. The timestamp is 5/10/2021. That's what the zoning officer made his determination. It's not fair to this zone. It's not fair to the zoning officer to make a determination on plans that were submitted after his determination of 5/18/21. It's not fair to him.
There was also other plans submitted before that as well. It was a back and forth for quite some time.
Okay. But let's just talk about the one that he finally decided on. Okay. I understand you don't want to, you said, hey, I'm not going to put a kitchen in now or what configuration you have, or you took a back door out. This was all done post his determination, correct?
No, the kitchen was taken prior to his determination in May. The kitchen had been taken out prior, from what I understand. The only thing that would...
Well, Ms. McKinley has in her third sentence, project proposal, living room with kitchenette. Maybe Ms. McKinley could tell us what the plans were that she reviewed as part of this.
I think that's the sink with the cabinet area, as she referred to as a kitchenette, but there wasn't a stove in those plans.
Yes, so and it did... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, when I spoke with Mr. Procaccino a couple of weeks ago, he told me that the only issue on the resubmitted plans was the second front door, that is something that had to be approved by the board. I had that conversation with him probably 2 weeks ago. That's what I thought we were, you know, I thought that was the last piece of the puzzle, but if I'm mistaken, that's fine. That's where I thought we were tonight in my conversations with him.
So would it be okay with the board if I shared my screen very quickly so that we can confirm which plan we're all talking about?
Great idea.
That would be great.
Please do.
The host needs to allow me to do that. I'm not quite sure if it's Linda or if it's Mr. Morris. I don't know who has the power.
It is me. Okay, you should be able to share your screen now.
Okay, great. Okay, is everyone looking at a floor plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
This is the plan that I reviewed for my June memo. It has a revised through date of April 29th, 2021. This is my understanding that this is the plan that the zoning officer denied. Does anyone disagree with that?
No, Ms. McKinley. I believe that is the plan that was denied. And the only change from that plan and the resubmitted plan was, I guess, when the architect did not put the space. If you look, it says entry door aligned with adjacent living room, 6 foot opening. So the opening was written in, but it wasn't drawn in. So we did another plan where it's actually drawn in. That's the only change between the plan that was denied and the revised plan I sent in.
Well, and so, I think additionally, this door.
Correct.
Oh, yes. There was another door before you got in there. You're correct, Ms. McKinley. I apologize.
That's all wide open now.
Yeah. This is the new plan that you guys submitted.
Yes.
Yeah. It's still the same 6 foot opening, which was labeled on the old plan. And then there was basically one door removed. But that 6 foot opening was always intended to be there. It was just incorrectly drawn on the submitted plan dated 4/29/2021. It was always going to be access between the two. It wasn't building a separate, there was never going to be a separate area. It was always going to be connected. And for that reason, I would still feel that the zoning officer's determination was incorrect. And what we've done to, you know, basically fix it further is remove the the only door that would be there between the two areas. So, I mean, even relying on the initial plans of 429, it still shows basically, you know, if it was drawn correctly, but there is a plate there where it says entry door aligned with adjacent living room, 6 foot opening. It is labeled there in writing that the extension and the existing dwelling were going to be connected at all times.
Right. So I think to Greg's original point, it's just that even though you removed this door and added the actual wall cut through here, this is the plan that the board has to take into consideration tonight.
That's fair, Ms. McKinley. But I'm saying even based on that drawing, it is written there that the entry door was going to have a 6 foot opening. It wasn't.
I see that, yeah.
You know, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think counsel's right. I think that's simply just a drafting error by the architect. Yeah. It says it's open, and I don't think that's a big deal for the board to consider it open. I think maybe the applicant should testify as to, you know, why is there a separate door? How does a person get there? Why can't they go through the house instead of having a second door? Because the issue always becomes with these matters. When you're providing a room, a kitchenette, full bath, laundry services, that essentially that's an apartment and that's a second use. And the municipality cannot regulate, cannot enforce if a week down the line, somebody closes that wall off. We can't get into your house. That's a reality. And right now, on this plan, you could easily lock that door, or if you call that the back door, and it would be a private residence. Like, no, why is there a second entrance?
That's right off of the main porch. That's all attached to the porch, to the existing porch. So if you walk it, if you go down out of the mudroom and you make a right, you go to the right. Yep. That's all one big porch. Like I said, we're trying to make it so it feels like it starts. Like if I got to make it small, a little smaller, whatever we got to do. I mean, she can't go all the way up to the second floor across the other house, you know, across into my house to do her laundry. Like, you know, she's going to be 80 years old. Like, you know, I don't know.
But I guess the point is, one of the major problems when you create that second door is the, and I want to make it very clear. And this is a discussion that is about you, but it's not really about you and your mother. It's when you say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm going to Florida to retire. When someone else buys this house and sees the second door and says, I can make this a two family. I'm just going to put some sheetrock in there because I don't have a mother that I want to live with. That's our problem because it goes now. This approval goes with the land. So that's why it's
my other thing is every pretty much, I'm going to say almost 100% of the houses in what do they call it? Galloping Hills where we live, Palmer Circle, every single house has two doors, mudroom, sink. Pretty much the same exact design. So,
I did want to ask. I mean, I've been through this, and
there's actually mother daughter. There's at least seven that I looked at that are mother daughter, 10 times bigger than this, 100 times nicer than this in the town. I mean, I don't know. Before I moved here, I don't know. And there's some on the market right now. So I don't know.
So, Mr. Youngs, this is other door. There's two doors. If I'm looking at the house completely, there's two doors, correct?
There's only one right now, yes.
This will be the second door.
Correct.
Right. And I've been through your neighborhood and you're right. Every house has two doors. It's just the way that neighborhood was designed. I guess every single house was has similarities. And one of them is they have two doors. I never quite understood it myself, but that's what they have. So Greg, if a house is just being built to meet the standards of the other homes, how can we say it's different, or differentiate it from the other homes that are, you know, literally all next to it?
Well, what they're saying here is that a door is only part of the story. It's a door into a secondary area that has everything that a resident could use and use it as a unit. Okay. It has a kitchenette. It has a full bath. It has laundry. So it's a fully functional area for a rental. I don't know. I've never been in that neighborhood. They have a second door. What's behind the second door? Is it another area that has a kitchenette, laundry services, full bath, a bedroom, a living room, a second bedroom, which they call it as a den? You know, are those doors in the other neighborhoods connected to a two bedroom suite? I don't know. So you have to, so just because there's a door in other houses doesn't mean that door opens up to a two bedroom, full bath, living room, kitchenette, laundry room area. That's what the zoning officer looked at. Not the simple fact is if you put another door to a mudroom, no one cares about that because it's a mudroom. It's what's past the mudroom that's being created, that's being saying, listen, we're creating a two-bedroom, this area that has all the amenities to be a rental unit. Plus, we're providing doors to be separate. That's what you have to look at.
So, Mr. Youngs, can you just...
And the zoning officer looked at it and said, hey, this looks like an apartment.
I mean, I'll take out a den or something like that. I mean, that's no problem. I'm just trying to give her space. I know it's not about me and her, but that's what I'm trying to do. So if I got to take out a den or whatever it is, I mean, I don't know.
Well, there, Mr. Young, that,
I mean, why don't I have her own bathroom and her own laundry? That's very important. Bathroom and laundry is very important.
Mr. Young, that's the problem with this appeal. I understand your concern, and I understand you're saying, listen, what do you want to take out for my approval so I have my mother live there? That's a great question. And you'd be more than willing to say, okay, I'll do what you want. But the venue that we're at is solely an appeal of this plan. We can say you, and that's the problem with appeal. It's something's been decided. Is it right or wrong? It's not something's been decided. It's right, but it may be right, maybe wrong, but we're going to modify it to solve the problem. That's why the revised plans, you need a meeting with the zoning officer to determine what he would accept to get a permit. If not, then you say, he may say, get rid of the door, get rid of the laundry room. I'm just guessing. I haven't talked to him. Let's just say he says those two things. And you say, you know what? No. You could file an appeal and an application for this approval, a use variance if not. But we can't simply do what you want and say, take this out and negotiate down. So this is solely the board looks at this and is the zoning officer, you believe the zoning officer was right saying this is potentially a two unit, makes it a house, a two family, or you know what? That's fine. To have these doors, access opening, kitchenette and everything else in every house in Millstone. Cause you're going to have a potential problem. Not with Mr. Young. It's the people who buy Mr. Young's house.
Mr. Vella, I still believe even based on the plans in front of us for 4/29/2021 dated, I still don't see that as a two-family residence. They're still unfettered between the two.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. And that's your appeal. You have the right. That's what we're here for. And the
that's
board
what I'm saying. Unfettered access between the new structure and the old structure. You keep saying kitchenette, and I understand why, but there's no stove, there's no dishwasher, there's no microwave, there's no refrigerator. The only thing that's there is basically a sink with some cabinets. I don't believe, and there's no back door. There's no separate entrance into the structure. From where I take it, it's not a separate residence. It does not create a two family. It's basically an extension that was put on so that his mother can be as comfortable as possible. And, you know, without a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, or any way to store or cook food, I don't believe it becomes a two-family. I don't, you know, maybe in Patterson people live without a refrigerator and a stove, but I'm sure people in Millstone are not going to rent a space that way. You know what I mean? So I still disagree with the finding that this the drawing in front of us on April 29th creates a two-family residence.
May I jump in? My only concern is all those things that you described would be fixtures that could be added after the fact. So whether or not that they're there or not, they all can be added, a refrigerator, a microwave, a stove. The sink is the essential component that kind of makes it concrete. And it's not about his mother. It's about the subsequent purchasers that could add those fixtures in and turn that into a two-family residence. I think that's where the main concern is. I don't think the original concern is whether or not it's for his mother and what the purposes are for her. It's more so, are we turning this into a two-family residence? And how easy can that be altered to make it so that two families could possibly live there?
Well, I mean, anything can be altered. I could turn my basement into a two-family. I got 2,000 square feet. I mean, realistically, nobody would know about it. But I don't want to do that. I'm trying to go the right path.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mr. Mangano, I appreciate your thoughts, but I don't believe a sink is the only component. I mean, in order to have a stove, you would need a gas line. In order to have a refrigerator, you'd have to run another water line. If it has, there's electrical components. I mean, if the sink wasn't there, you could have the same argument that, well, you can just add a sink. So, I mean, there's not really much we can do in order to justify. You know, it's either you believe my client or you don't at this point. I understand that you're not judging him based on what he's going to do, but what future people can do. But even if the sink wasn't there, there's nothing to stop anybody from adding those fixtures later. And there's nothing to add anybody from adding those fixtures in any house behind closed doors. I don't really feel that's a fair, categorization, you know. You never know what your neighbors are doing. They could be doing things behind closed doors all the time.
What is this in the center here?
Well, that was when the kitchen was there, that was going to be an island.
It's not there anymore. Now it's just open space.
So I think you put the square on it.
I have a question. What's the need for the living room and a den?
Well, to be honest with you, I was just looking at that too. I really don't know now at this point. That's why I said I'd be willing to pull the den out of there or make the living room smaller.
Unfortunately, that's not what we're here to do. We can't amend the plans, as Mr. Vella said, despite the fact that, I mean, there's a living area, there's a bedroom. I don't know. I mean, maybe his mother wants a sewing room or a craft room.
I don't even think she wants that.
But that's just how it was drawn at the time.
She's trying to make her feel as comfortable, like she had, you know, she went from a house to living in a basement, you know? So I was trying to give her something, you know, a little nice, you know? I don't know.
And, you know, we needed it in it. And basically a smaller addition would not keep in line with the neighborhood, to be quite honest with you. If you cut the den out and move everything over, you know, the house it's a pretty large house. You can't add a small addition. It's not going to look right. For lack of a better way to put it, there's some aesthetics that need to be taken into account when you're dealing with a house of this size. And, you know, that's part of the reason as well.
So are you saying at this point before the addition that the original house is not as large as all the other neighboring houses and this would make it more similar to everyone else's house?
That's correct also. I didn't even look at that. Yeah, there are definitely bigger houses in my neighborhood for sure.
Yes, and this
more substantially bigger.
This would be more in keeping with the neighborhood, the size of this addition. If you put a smaller addition on it, would almost, I don't want to say it wouldn't look right, but it wouldn't have as much aesthetic appeal as the size that this addition is.
And how many total bedrooms and baths would this house now have if this addition was to be put on?
That would be five bedrooms, which I have. We have three. I have two little daughters. I have an older daughter, me and my wife, and then my mother.
So when you add this on, it would be five bedrooms and how many baths?
Five bedrooms, one, two, three, four bathrooms.
And are there other homes in the neighborhood that have five bedrooms and four baths?
Oh yes.
Do you have any testimony for that, or I don't know anything. I don't know the houses.
Yeah. No, that I don't. I don't have testimony now.
But Kevin, do you personally know some of your neighbors?
There's some houses. My house is about 4,000 square feet. There's some that are about 5,300, 5,200. Not all of them.
So Greg, I have a question for you. If they're just adding on square footage, I mean, you could, what's interesting about this case is you could, as the attorney mentioned, you could add these things later. You could take them away later. Anyone could do anything to their homes. What do we have as a board? I guess I'm a little, want to make sure we get this right. We're just here to either say the appeal is we're okay with the appeal or we're against the appeal, and we're basing it on an addition to a house that makes it similar to or has similar number of bedrooms, and everything else is kind of hearsay or I think could be possibly this. I mean, I know plenty of homes that have little sinks for bars in a lot of different rooms, so it seems like a speculation kind of thing to me, unless I'm missing something.
Well, Steve, when you see these quote mother-daughter units, okay, most towns have certain protections for that. For example, they don't permit the secondary, they allow you to do all this internal stuff, right? The kitchenette, the full kitchen even, okay? But they have protections. They have one, they don't have a separate entrance. It has to be internal from the home. They're your family. They can walk through your house. So by giving them the ability to have a kitchen, as long as it doesn't have the ability to have a tenant walk from a separate door into this unit, that's what causes the problem. And then you have in this plan where there is some access between the main house and this unit, there is a new door that stops that. This mudroom becomes a vestibule. If the mother could simply walk, open that second door, lock it, she has, no one else could go in there, just like a quote unquote tenant. Most towns, when allowing to have the mother come in, and we use the mother as a father could come in too, of course, that they require a deed restriction. That everyone gets puts on notice that this is a mother-daughter home and that it cannot be rented out to a third party. There's a deed restriction. So when Greg Vella buys Mr. Young's house, I know for a fact that this is not a two-family unit. This is a single-family unit with a deed restriction for it, which can be enforced. This application probably needs modifications. The issue is that does this before us, does that make it a two-unit home? Does it have all the amenities for a second house? Does it have separation from the main house? There's a door there that can easily be locked. That's what you're looking at, and that's what the zoning officer looked at.
And what is our...
Quite possibly, if that outside door wasn't there, most likely the zoning officer would just did a stamp of approval. And so they probably would allow them to have a full kitchen. Because it doesn't matter at that point. Because there's no ability. There's no ability for that. To have a separate. You're not renting to Greg Vella to walk through your front door, through your kids' rooms, and finally out to a room. You're not putting a tenant to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what the concern is. We look in the future. We can't just be short-sighted of what's going on today.
I completely understand that, but also then it would look, sir, if we put this addition on, like you were saying, sir, and there wasn't a front door, it would look so out of place in the neighborhood, it'd be pretty wild.
Greg, what is our ordinance? Sorry for not knowing this. Do we have an ordinance that says no fan, like two, like what are we, what does Millstone say to this? Just can't have two family? How does that work?
The zone only allows for single family homes. There's not a provision for two family homes in Millstone right now. The township committee is considering it, but nothing's been passed as of yet. So that's Nick, the zoning officer, is going off of guidance from the township committee without a full ordinance. Like Greg was saying, those protections such as requiring deed restrictions, that's not in place. There is no ordinance in the township right now. So as of right now, all we're going off of is that the current zoning does not permit two family houses. So does this qualify as a two family home?
Thank you.
Yep.
And that's really that's the board's call at this point.
So, Attorney Vella, so are we here to discuss the plan before us and whether the code enforcement officer that reviewed the plan's decision to deny the application for building permit is the right decision or the wrong decision? Because the plan that I see before me is the way that you described it before, where it looks like a potential two-bedroom apartment with a full laundry room, a full bathroom, a private entrance, a potential kitchen and a living room. And I know that the zone only allows for single family homes and the developers were not allowed to sell multifamily homes. Had they had that option, they probably would have sold a few of them in almost every development in this town. But like Mr. Youngs was told by his realtor that he could do these things before he bought the home is the same thing that a realtor would tell the next potential buyer when they come in and look at the floor plan and they say, hey, can I rent this? And the realtor would probably say, yeah, you probably can. So, you know, I think what we can start to do, because we have a couple of other applications here, right, is to start to talk about whether the code enforcement decision was the proper decision or not the proper decision.
That's, Mr. Lambros, you hit it on the head. That's all we're really discussing. Can Mr. Young build this in a different configuration and provide more? Most likely, yes. But that's a conversation that Mr. Young needs to sit down with his architect and the zoning officer and say, tell me, here's my plans. What do I have to remove? What can I put in that you think it's okay to give me my building permit? Because this lot doesn't have bulk variance issues, lot coverage, setbacks, or anything else. The sole question we have is, are these plans that were submitted, the zoning officer looked at, does it create a two family? That's simply all we could do. There's a lot of other questions out there, but this is the only relevant one.
Okay.
More questions from the board?
Would you like me to stop sharing my screen now, or are people still looking at this?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah, Steve, I'm just looking at it, and I don't know I don't have any questions because it kind of seems pretty obvious to me, but I would think that I probably would still rely on the judgment of the zoning officer. And I think if that negotiation is going to take place for changes and modifications, I do agree that that's the place where it should happen. I mean, he's got the experience as far as what he's seen going on in town and what he's approved and not approved. So, I mean, it's nice. It's got a lot of stuff, and I just think it should fall back to. I would let it go back to the zoning officer. Let the negotiation take place there, because the applicant seems pretty agreeable to making, you know, changes. So I'm pretty sure they could work something out.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Morelli. Adam, do you have more you'd like to add?
I mean, at this point, I'll have a summary. Even on the plans based in April, I don't feel that they create a two-family. I do understand where the board is coming from. It's a lovely town. It's a lovely neighborhood, and obviously you want to keep it that way. You want to keep it within the one-family zoning. Under no circumstances, and I know you have to look to the future, not just the current situation, does my client want to turn this into a two-family home? He's simply trying to create a living space for his elderly mother. We have gone back and forth with the town on several plans. Even the plans that I know are not up for tonight, he told me he could still not approve because anything with an additional front door, even though it is in keeping with the neighborhood, he's not going to approve. So even if we submit additional plans and change everything, configuration, take things out, the second front door is always going to cause us to get back to this place. So whether you rule on it now or later, eventually a decision will have to be made by the board on whether or not this will be taken care of. But like I said, there's a 6-foot opening between the two. There's a sink, which I don't think in any extent leads to being a kitchen. There's a bathroom and a laundry area. It's really in keeping with the neighborhood. I would still disagree with the building official's, assertion that it's a two-family. I know Ms. McKinley said that there's nothing on the books right now that would allow a deed restriction, but that was offered in the negotiations as well. We offered to put a deed restriction in. We've offered several things to try and make this fly, but it always comes back to that second front door. So I don't, and to be honest with you, with Mrs. Young's, Loretta, I know her personally, with her advanced age, I mean, she was in the hospital 2 months ago. She almost died. I mean, she's going to need that additional access. I think eventually we're going to have to build a ramp as well, but that's a different story for a different day. I just don't feel that the plans lead to a two-family circumstance, but obviously I respect the board and I will wait for your decision. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate the words. Anything more from our professionals, McKinley or Bersey? He still on?
Matt's still there.
No, there I'm you still are. Matt, here. There you are. Sorry, I didn't see you. Any
no more? There's no engineering on this one, so I'm off the hook. So
okay.
No comments.
Thank you. McKinley?
I do understand the difficulty of these, and I know the applicant has been in front of the zoning officer a few times. I've not been a part of those discussions, so I'm not sure. I know there are different iterations. I didn't see until I saw the application that the board is looking at as well. These things, I could say, they're not black and white. There is not a straight kind of yes or no way of defining these. They can be interpreted in many ways, which makes it difficult. And I think that's the reason we're here tonight. I think from my experience and perspective, the front door tends to be the biggest issue. Of course, we want to be able to plan for aging in place. That's a big, in my world, that's a very big planning initiative that has a lot of favorability. But we do have to make sure that when we're doing that, we protect the zoning that's been put in place and planned for by the township. So I was not involved in any of those conversations, but from a peer planning perspective, that tends to be the biggest problem associated with these.
All right, thank you.
Can I say something, one last thing?
Real quick, because we got a couple more in front of us. Yes, please.
All right, well, the only thing I would like to say is about the second front door, and if people could understand that, I want to say it's almost 100% of the houses in our neighborhood have two front doors, and some of them lead to bigger and better things than what I'm showing you guys on our plans today, and some aren't. But everybody has two front doors. I want to say almost 100% of them. I could be off by one, but I'm out of the 49 houses. I think they all have it. None of my neighbors complained. They love the idea of adding the second door. Everybody who got the letters, people were coming up to me saying, hey, that would actually make your house look like pretty much everybody else's house in the neighborhood. So the whole two front door thing, If I didn't have two front doors and I just gave you a plan with a huge great room, a 1,000-square-foot great room, could build it the way I wanted to anyway. I could put a front door in there in an hour after we were approved and set it done. But, you know, we're trying to go the right path, and that's all I'm going to say. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. What I'd like to do right now is open this applicant to the public at 8:25. Is there anyone on this call that is in the public?
If anyone in the public, then you just hit the raise your hand button. Doesn't look like there's anyone by phone. So if you hit your raise your hand button, we can bring you into the room. Going once, going twice, seeing no raised hands, Mr. Chairman, you can close the public portion.
Thank you, Mr. Vella. So we'll close the public portion at 8:26. I'd like to now then open this applicant up to the board. Only quick comment I'd like to make myself is I agree with Mr. Young's that the pretty much every home there does have two doors. So I think it would, as a look, it would fit the neighborhood. However, I think it sure would have been nice maybe as a as evidence. I would like to have seen some floor plans of these other homes just to see what the heck they're up to. It would help me understand a little bit about how this home would fit in with the rest of the neighborhood. So it leaves me a little bit undecided that I don't feel the second door will do anything. It will not fit in the community since they all have second doors, but I understand how the zoning officer can see it as a two family. I get it. But anyone can turn anything into a two family if they wanted to. So that's the great part about this whole applicant. So with that said, I'll open this up to any other members of the board.
You all know, right. I don't think I'm here to decide whether the second door is the appropriate thing for the plan, or the extra laundry room, or a back door that went outside, or whatever. I think I'm here to determine whether the officer who reviewed the application for a building permit has made an appropriate decision. And the that individual reviews many, many plans, probably more than we do. And on several occasions, he's denied this, you know, various proposals from Mr. Young. For this particular plan that Mr. Young would like to construct, you know, I don't think the code enforcement officer is denying all plans. I think he's denying the ones that are questionable and probably an infraction on the zone plan. So I think that as a board member who's been on the board for many years now, I'm not sure if we've ever had to determine whether a code enforcement officer's decision was accurate or not. But
I agree. I think this is
what the first one. I'd like to think that our code enforcement officers know what they're doing, and that the decision for this plan is good the way it is. I know that single family homes are, you know, the only thing allowed in residential developments. And I know that some mother and daughter situations kind of exist out there too, described like Mr. Vella did. But, you know, I feel like Mr. Morelli, that if there's an opportunity for Mr. Young to go back to the code enforcement officer with a different plan and try to work on it to something that is passable, that Mr. Young's and his mother can live with, I think that's the appropriate path. I mean, Mr. Young's is always entitled to come back here for use variance application, but I'm not sure that that's a little risky on his part. And I think his chances with the code enforcement officer to come up with a plan that's acceptable to everybody, him and them, is probably the best path.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lambros. Anyone else on the board would like to make a comment? Going once, twice. All right, Greg, I guess then we just take a, is there, unless there's anything you want to add, I guess we just then take a vote.
No, Mr. Chair, I think we've talked about this enough. This is really just a determination as an appeal, the zoning officer's determination that the plans that were submitted that we went over, whether it creates a two unit or does not. It's as simple as that.
Very good. Thank you. All right. With that said, then I'd like somebody on the board to make a motion to approve or deny this applicant their appeal of the zoning board decision.
Yeah, whether you would affirm the zoning officer's determination or reverse.
Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to affirm the zoning officer's determination.
Thank you, Mr. Lambros. Do I hear a second?
I would second that. I would also affirm the zoning board members' his decision to deny.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ferrara. So I guess let's just have a roll call then.
Vice Chairman Barthelmess?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Okay, the zoning officer determination is firm. This doesn't stop you from essentially building what you're doing. You have two choices. You could go back to the zoning officer, modify your plans, and have a meeting with him, which clearly is what recommended by the board, to a sit down with the zoning officer.
Well, didn't we try that already? We already tried to sit down with him, and that was denied, actually.
Mr. Pavella, I have submitted new plans to Nick in between.
I don't think Nick knows what's going on.
And what he told me was he will not approve anything with a second front door. No matter what we do, he will not approve anything with a second front door. And I just find that to be very prejudiced, considering 90% of the houses in this neighborhood have a second front door. I mean, well, I just board's decision, and we will accept it, and I will talk to Nick. But I mean, if it comes down to we can't have a second front door no matter what we do, I don't really feel that's fair. And I understand that the board wants to err on the side of caution and say that Nick's been doing this for years, but he told me personally when I spoke to him, he will not make a decision approving plans with a second front door. He will always leave that up to the board.
The only way to leave it up to the board, you'd have to file an appeal, an application for approval and request the use variance. And you could file, and this is where you could, what I was trying to get at, with an appeal, you're limited. Okay. You could file for a use variance, and the board could grant it and impose certain conditions or modify it. That's your call, and maybe that's what he's saying. You'd have to make that application. My understanding is that we are going to have an application very similar to yours by Mr. Pape within the next month or two. But to get it out of his hands, you'd have to make – that's the things we're kind of struggling with. We can't do conditions. We can't make modifications. This was just an appeal. Only way to do is apply for a use variance and then say, this is what we're doing. We're going to do a deed restriction. We're going to eliminate this. We're going to do this, however you do it. But that's how you get in front of the board for a discussion and modifications and conditions. We just can't do it now on an appeal, which is very, very limited.
I understand. I don't want to take up any more of the board's time. I appreciate all your efforts, questions, and thoughts and concerns. Thank you very much for entertaining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Take care, counsel.
Okay. With that being said, we will now move on to our new applications. The next one on our agenda is Ponte Joseph Z21-03, located at 226 Stagecoach Road.
I saw Ponte here before. Is he in here?
Good evening. I'm here.
Okay, Mr. Ponte. Are you the only witness tonight?
No, sir. My architect, Kurt Ludwig, is also here.
Is Mr. Hello. Ludwig online?
Yeah, I see him.
Okay, great. All right. So to make sure everyone was able to speak. All right, for the record, I reviewed the notice of joining property owners and affidavit of publication. They're in order and the board has jurisdiction to hear this matter. The applicant has filed not only the notice that's required under the municipal land use law, but also under the emergency proclamations by the Department of Community Affairs for virtual hearings. They are in order. As the board does in its normal course, we pre-mark certain exhibits, which I'll mark into the record as follows. Please note that all these exhibits have been online at Millstone Township's website. A1, jurisdictional packet. A2, application dated June 7, 2021. A3, tax map. A4, aerial photograph. A5, sheet 1 of architectural plans prepared by Kurt Ludwig, last revised May 19, 2021. A6 is sheet 2 of the same plans. A7, sheet 3 of the same plans. We've also marked our own exhibits, BOA1, the engineer's report, dated 7-16-2021, BOA2, the planner's report, dated 7-20-21. Mr. Ponte, Mr. Chairman, sure, I give back to you.
Thank you, Greg. Please, let's review the application and then we'll go forward.
Okay. Mr. Ponte, let me swear you in. And actually, Mr. Ludwig, I can swear you in at the same time if you're going back and forth. Please both raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm in the following testimony about to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, Mr. Ponte first.
Joseph Pante, P-A-N-T-E.
Is it? I butchered your name apparently. It's Ponte.
Everybody does.
How do you pronounce it?
It's Pante, sir.
Pante. Okay, you can drop your right hand. And Mr. Ludwig?
Kurt Ludwig, L-U-D-W-I-G.
Okay, Mr. Ponte, I'm just going to mess it up again. Why don't you explain to the board what you're doing, the variances you require, and why you think the board should grant relief?
So we're looking to build a second story addition up. We're also looking to add a front porch. The home we purchased here in Millstone, we love your town. We wanted to move this town. We feel like it's a great place to raise our children. And we love the ruralness of the town. The home we bought was a little dated and, you know, slightly small. But our idea was to build a second story addition with a front porch, an open concept front porch. We feel the porch would be a nice addition to the neighborhood, as we feel it's a more farmhouse look. And it would, you know, also fit in really well in the neighborhood. There's a farm across from us. It'd be nice to be able to sit on the porch and, you know, just look at the farm and relax. If, you know, there's machinery out there, it'd be nice for our kids to be able to see it. It's kind of the upbringing we're looking for our children.
Great. Thank you very much. Did you guys, the attachments I received, I did not see any design plans or anything. Did you send those in? Do we have those?
Yeah, we submitted, and I believe Mr. Bella had said that architecturals are one of the exhibits.
Yeah, that's A5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, I didn't. Can we someone share their screen, and then maybe Mr. Ludwig can review the plans with us? Is that possible?
Yes. Let me see something here. I could share my screen if I could be allowed to.
You should have permission.
Okay. I'm trying to share now. Hold on a second. Yeah, this is the one. Entire screen.
Is this the right? I want a script. Why can't I share that screen? What are you guys seeing when I hit that?
I saw your browser with like some other website on it.
Greg, when you hit share, it should give you an option of which screen you want to choose.
Yeah, I see that. It says entire screen, window, Chrome tab. That's the one I want. See if that works. Does that work?
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
Okay. So why don't we, this is the first plan. This is the survey of the property. Why don't Mr. Ponte and the architect first describe what does your property look like? So we can start off with that because we know the property is undersized, deficient lot frontage, deficient front yard setback. Why don't we start with that?
Joe, you want me to go ahead?
Yes, please.
My office prepared this drawing. The image to the right is the survey of the property. Currently includes a one-story ranch-style home with a driveway to the right of the home. To the left, rear is a pool and shed, and then there's a barn towards the around the center of the property towards the back. If you could go to this next page, I could walk you through the proposed addition.
That's what I'm working on that now.
Okay, thank you.
How's that?
Got it.
So the drawing at the top of the page is the first floor plan. Currently includes a living area, kitchen, two-car garage and three bedrooms and a bathroom. What we're proposing to do is open up the existing front two bedrooms to give it more of an open floor plan for the living room and the dining room, and take the laundry area, which is currently in the garage, take that out, create a second floor. To access the second floor, there would be a set of stairs to the right between the dining room and the two-car garage. As you go up the stairs, the drawing to the lower right indicates the proposed second floor addition. As you come up the stairs, you'd make a left into a hallway. There would be a total of three bedrooms on the proposed second floor, two bathrooms, a laundry room, and a study. The proposed second floor is straight up on the front of the house and on the sides of the living space, and it cantilevers out the back about 2 feet. I can't see the
image. Hey, Greg, we lost it. Did we lose Greg? I see him there.
Do you know what he had up?
He had the architectural, I think it was A2.
Right,
or A5?
A2.
Sheet A2. Sheet A2, yes, thank you.
You said A5?
No, sorry, A2. Well, A2. Exhibit A1 with the second sheet.
I think on the website it's A5. The second sheet of the plan.
I'm sorry.
So would it be this one or is this incorrect?
That's A1.
So then we need
go to the next page. That would be great. There we go. Well, there's part of it.
Oh.
There it is. That's it.
Thank you. I was just going to say again, the second floor addition would go straight up the front of the existing house, the straight up the left side and straight up the right side between the garage and the kitchen, and it would overhang the back of the house about 2 feet. We're also proposing a new front porch. Currently, there's no really no covered entryway to get into the house from the front yard. So we're proposing a front porch with a roof and an open columns and railing. That porch will extend into the front yard 9.5 feet from the dining room wall. And if you could go to the next page, that would be great. Sheet A3. Thank you. So this page includes the exterior elevations. The top left drawing is the proposed right, the proposed front elevation. I'm sorry. The roof structure will be a gable style roof. We're going to replace the siding on the entire house so that the siding all is new and matches. You can see the front porch with the gable entryway. There'll be stone veneer along the bottom of the front elevation. The bottom left drawing is a rear view of the proposed house. And then we have our two side views on the right. And I could go back and answer any questions anybody may have about the design.
What's the siding? What's the type of siding are we talking about? Regular? Does it have a wood look? Does it have a vinyl look? Like, what is the?
Sure. It's going. The front of the house is going to have a wood shake look with cedar impressions, and then the sides and the rear will be like standard clapboard vinyl siding.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is anybody going to talk about the variances that you're here for?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just for the board's benefit, want to reiterate kind of why it's here and not just set with the zoning officer. So the existing house has a front yard setback of 51 feet where 75 is required. With the new porch addition, they will now be 43.2 feet from the front yard. So they're already deficient, and they're going to exacerbate that deficiency by about 9 feet or so. The lot also has three existing non-conforming conditions that aren't going to change as a component of this application, that being they're required to have 10 acres for a lot size where they have 4.6. They're required to have a 250-foot lot width where they have 200 feet. And there's an existing very small accessory structure that you can see on that survey that is 3.2 feet from the lot line where it's supposed to be 20 feet. So should the board act favorably on the front yard setback, I would recommend taking the existing non-conforming conditions into consideration also, just so it is a clean application moving forward.
All right, McKenzie, thank you.
Yeah. I'm back. I'm sorry I got kicked off.
The computer couldn't handle it, Greg.
When are we having public meetings again? Because I'm done with this.
Hopefully next month. We'll have to talk about that. Greg, you just missed. We went through the architectures, the details of the plans, and then McKinley gave us the different variances that this applicant is looking for.
Okay, great.
Matt, do you have anything to add?
I just want to clarify that this is right now a three-bedroom house, and the finished product, I think what I heard, was going to be a four-bedroom house. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you do know you will need Board of Health's approval for the additional bedroom.
I am aware of that, and I believe that my client had upgraded his septic system already, but we'll submit. Sure.
They'll give you a letter saying what you're doing is fine. That's all we need. The shed that's only 3 feet setback, was it there when you bought the house, or did you put it up there?
Yes, sir. The shed was there when we purchased it.
So we can't blame you for that?
Nope. We're not responsible for it.
Okay.
Is that the shed?
The septic was upgraded to support a four-bedroom house.
Oh, good.
Is the shed on a concrete slab, or how's it just sitting on the ground?
I believe it's just sitting on the ground, sir, on its, on the 2x4 framing on the bottom.
Okay.
It's all the way to the left.
It also, I don't know if it matters, it also houses the pool. Pool plumbing.
It's like a pool house kind of thing.
Well, it has a filter system.
The filter's inside the shed.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The shed's really just almost an aesthetic to hide the mechanical stuff?
Part of it is, and then the other part of it's used as a shed.
Okay, just so basic storage for the rest of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, so to move it would be difficult because it does house the as you're saying, the filters inside.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, I guess we have to discuss the variances. The lot width, we can't really do anything about. There's nothing, we just can't change that.
I think the only one is the front yard setback that we really need to discuss.
Right. Everything else is pretty stuck. I think the front yard setback, the debate would be, do you have to be 9 feet or can you make that I think a front porch is nice and it adds a little character to the house, but does it have to stick out 9 feet? And then I guess next question is, we're so far off, the front setback is 43 versus 51. What's the difference, if we're talking about a variance? I think a more important thing to do is to make sure we have the house looking as good as possible, because that's what people are going to see.
Well, maybe Mr. Ponte could describe. I'm looking at the aerial. I don't want to share my screen and get kicked off again. So if someone could share it, it looks like there's other houses within at least to the right. Would they be same or similar front yard setbacks as what's there existing in the other homes?
Yes, sir. I believe our Mr. Ludwig's project manager had introduced some paperwork. I believe some of the homes in the area have similar front yard setbacks. There's also, other homes on Stagecoach Road that are second story homes that do have, open concept front porches.
Is there any chance we can zoom up a little bit on this picture?
Mr. Morris, can you zoom into the front yard setback of the houses along Stagecoach Road?
Is that anybody?
That's fine. Yes. Thank you. So if I'm seeing it correctly, it looks like three houses in a row are all pretty much on the same setback, if I'm seeing that right. Would you agree, Mr. Ponte?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have a quick question. It looks like from your survey that the property line sits a little inwards. Do you know what the dimension is to the actual edge of pavement?
When I measured it from the front of the house to the edge of the pavement, I believe it's about approximately 80 feet.
So existing to edge of pavement's 80, so then take about 9, so it would be about 71 feet to edge of pavement as proposed. Does that sound about right?
That's approximate. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, go ahead, Mr. Lambert.
Mr. Pante, is all the vegetation out on the roadway going to stay, or are you going to cut that back?
Some of it we've thought about cutting back, but we're probably going to leave most of it. There's one tree that's a little larger that's somewhat overgrown that we've thought about cutting it back. Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, just for number reasons. So, to pavement, I'm hearing it's going to be 71. Is that correct? 71 feet?
Yes, Steve. So, if you see the survey, if you kind of zoom in on it, the property lines of all of these properties sit in from the pavement quite a bit. There's a little identifier that says edge of pavement there. So it looks like the applicant's mailbox is actually not even in there on their property. It looks like it's in the right of way. So I think, it's one of the, if this road were to be widened, that would be within the right for it to be widened. But as it sits today, there's some distance before the property line starts.
Right. So if the road, if nothing changes, they'll be set with the porch, they would be 71 feet back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. And the present distance has to be 75. Is that correct?
Yes.
But we're taking 9 or whatever the number is off because of the actual property line itself.
No, the 75 is from right away line, not the edge of pavement. Yeah. That's what's required.
Right.
Mackenzie's saying practically, if you go there today, from the future front setback to the edge of pavement is going to be 71 feet. Assuming that's not what the setback is, the setback's 43 feet. So there's roughly 30 feet of right of way that could be extended towards their house.
I do think Stagecoach Road is a county road, so it certainly, it is in their right to widen it if they wanted to. But I was just, to Greg's, I was just making the point that visually it is further set back than the existing 51 feet.
Right.
Yeah. I actually live just down the road, so I'm pretty knowledgeable about Stagecoach Road. Traffic wise, I really don't anticipate the county ever needing to widen it. I mean, there's a little bit of traffic, but it's definitely not a busy road. Not busy enough to be two lanes or even, I think, and everybody's mailboxes pretty much are all within that right of way. I mean, my mailbox is within that right of way. So, I don't think there would be an issue with that distance.
And Steve, would you say that the present houses, they're all rather in line, so it's even if you came out a couple of feet with the 9 feet with the porch, it wouldn't look. I mean, this is all about looks, right? You don't want one house sticking out versus all the others.
No, especially in that spot, there's a couple of houses in a row that are all similar distances, and then as you go up towards the curve, get down towards me, some of us are set back a little further. I'm set back probably, 150 feet or something. I'm pretty far back, but the house right next to this, I think we just did a variant. Didn't we just do an application for the house?
Yeah.
Right next to it.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not much further back off the road. I mean, I know that house has a loop, like a circle, not a circular driveway, but an in and out driveway. And
right.
I don't think it's much back.
Yeah. That house was only 1 acre. So they only needed 50 feet setback.
Uh huh. Mm.
So this is very much in line with that house. And again, the front porch is not covered, so you're really not going to see it.
Right.
Well, I thought there was a little bit of an arch coming out. When I saw the architectural drawings,
right.
Is that correct?
Correct. The proposed front porch is proposed to have a roof.
Wait. Yeah. Well,
but it's open. It's not going to be a closed front
porch. Right. It's not a closed room. It's open.
There is a
room.
Okay. Right.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Ponte, do you have any other comments or yourself, Mr. Ludwig, do you want to add to this discussion?
No, sir. I just want to thank the board for taking the time to hear us and, take this on. And, I just want to say that, everything that the town that we thought it would be is lived up to that. The township employees that we've worked with so far to get us here have been very friendly and helpful. Even when I was bringing brush to the, to the compost in the fall, they were very helpful and friendly. And, we were already liking being here, and even our neighbors are very friendly. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to hear this.
Very good. Before I open this up for more discussion, I'd like to maybe just open this up to public. It's 8:59 p.m. Is there anyone in the public or raise their hand, as Greg explained before, when you're a public member for this particular applicant?
Going once, going twice. Mr. Chairman, no one has raised their hand.
Thank you, Greg. Then I will close the public portion at 9 p.m. Let's then move on to discussion. Is anyone on the board or our professionals that would like to add anything to this applicant?
Nothing from me. I'm good.
No, just if the board chooses to act favorably, I would also recommend formalizing the three pre-existing non-conforming uses into the resolution.
Very good. My only comment is I'm always favorable if somebody is trying to make a property look better than it did in the past. And I think I like the shaker siding on the front. I think that fits well in Millstone. It seems like porches are very nice add to a house. I think it just adds a little character, and I think that's definitely character to Millstone. So even though the porch is the thing we're really talking about, I think it adding the positive to it versus a few feet of setback, I think is okay when you look at the overall look of the property. So with that being said, I'm favorable, but I'd like to hear from the rest of the board if they agree or disagree.
The only comments I would make is from the experience of living on the road. It's definitely nice to have a front porch. A lot of nights we just sit there and we watch the soybeans cross the street, you know, watch the soybeans. It's very relaxing. And the traffic, you know, hour for people going home, it gets pretty quiet as far as, other than the motorcycles that scream by at 100 miles an hour, not your kind of motorcycle, but it's really nice. We worked really hard to get those farms preserved in that area. I mean, the farm across from you is preserved. So you're not going to have to worry about sitting on the porch looking at anything you don't want to look at. My only other suggestion is, I'm just giving you my experience. The blue spruces are really nice, but just be careful of spider mites and fungus, because I have blue spruces and it's a constant battle to keep them sprayed and everything else. But I would be perfectly agreeable. This is a good application for Millstone.
All right, Steve, thank you for that. Anyone else? All right. Hearing no other discussion from the board, Greg, is there anything you would like to summarize?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're really dealing with that front yard setback. The only conditions I have for my notes was obviously condition on the Board of Health approval. And we normally on these front yard setback variances, when you're doing an open front porch, we usually put a condition that they're not permitted to close the front porch and make it a Four Seasons room, which is kind of standard, because part of the setback difference, you're really looking through the front porch to the house, which is where the real setback. If you allow them to close it off, you're really pushing everything forward. So those are the only two conditions that I have from my notes.
Great. I agree with that, Greg, 100%. So thank you for that. Okay. I guess hearing nothing else from anyone on the board, I think it's time then let's take a vote. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to approve or deny this application with the ads that Greg just added and the other variances that are already needed for the entire application?
I'll make that a motion based on the conditions and the setback issues to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Morelli. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right, Mark, thank you. Roll call.
Vice Chairman Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Conoscente?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Well, great. All right. Well, thank you very much. Greg, do you need to summarize on anything?
No, Mr. Ponte, I butchered your name and I apologize. I'll have a resolution drafted for next meeting. Once that resolution gets signed at the next meeting, you'll get a copy from our board secretary. Once you get that resolution, you can apply for your building permits.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Very good. Good evening.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay. It is now 9:05. Does anyone on the board like to take a quick break before we hear our third and final applicant? If we're okay, we'll just continue and move through. All right, let's do that. Our third applicant, Z21-04, Stephen and Lois Sarah. Sorry?
I'm sorry.
This is located at 1 Fern Drive, and is the applicant present?
Alan from Freehold representing the applicant. Mr. Shear is seated to my left. I think you can see him on the screen. Unfortunately, you can see me too. I tried to keep out of it.
Okay, we can see you.
Good evening, Mr. Halloran. For the record, I reviewed notice adjoining property notice and affidavit of publication. They are in order, and the board has jurisdiction to hear this matter. As the board, the applicant has not only submitted the appropriate notice for municipal land use law, but the emergency rules on the DCA for the COVID pandemic for virtual hearings. All exhibits have already been placed on the Millstone Township website. As I do in my normal course, I'll we pre-mark certain exhibits, which I'll mark in the records as follows. A1, jurisdictional notice. A2, application dated 6/28/2021. A3, aerial photograph. A4, survey prepared by Morgan Engineering, dated 4/12/2021. A5, fence location plan and details, dated 6/21/21. A6, photographs of site, dated 6/3/21. We have one exhibit, BOA1, which is our planner's report, dated 7/20/2021. Matt has taken that this application off as well. So, Mr. Halloran, please enter your appearance and you can proceed with your application. And of course, you can introduce any other evidence you deem necessary or appropriate for your application.
My name is Vincent Halloran. I represent the applicant. And my only witness will be Mr. Shear, who I said is seated to my left. Greg, you want to swear him in?
Sure, Mr. Shear, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the following testimony you're about to give, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Yeah. Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir. Mr. Halloran, we have a real hard time hearing him. He's got to get a lot closer to the microphone.
Stephen Shera, S-C-H-E-R-E-R.
Mr. Scherer. Scherer, how do you pronounce it?
Scherer.
Oh, Mr. Scherer, you sound better now where you're located. Okay, Mr.
Would you tell the board exactly what you want to do and why?
We would like to erect a fence around the entire perimeter of the yard. We are on the side of Yellow Meeting House Road, which is considered, as you know, a front yard. So we are looking to erect a 6-foot fence, solid vinyl, for privacy, security, children, grandchildren, safety, because there's a pool right near there.
Now, how will this fit in with the neighborhood?
My neighbor to the back has a vinyl solid 6-foot fence. He also indicated to us that he was very pleased with what we proposed, and he welcomed us to the neighborhood, and we are now awaiting your decision.
Now the planner has indicated that you need the waiver from the 4 feet because 6 feet is required in the front. She also says there's 3 variances, which were you aware of that when you purchased
it? No, not at all.
Do you know of any problem with regard to any of those variances? The area, I mean, the lot looks like it's a couple of thousand square feet short.
Well, the entire lot is 3 acres. And I was not made aware of it until I believe it was last week that there was a problem with the footage, the setback.
And that's basically it. Sandy, do you have any comments
What is the proposed setback of the fence? Do you want to show that to the board? Is there a map?
Approximately 75 feet from the road.
Which road?
Yellow Meeting House Road.
That's what.
All right. We
have no 75. You sure?
That's what we have available. I think you have a 50.
Oh, he wants to know where the fence is going to be.
On the inside of my property, on the inside of a mature trees that are approximately 20 to 25 feet in depth.
Well, hold on for a second. Could we pull up the Morgan Engineering survey, please? Mr. Morris, if you could share that, because I don't see the fence on the plans. Is that what you're getting at?
That's a survey. Then we were given a plan. I don't know what exhibit that is, because we asked them to show where the fence goes and where are all these green bushes and trees and stuff.
Yeah, that was one of my questions too. At least the copy that we had doesn't seem to be complete. So we need some clarification on where the fence and the gates are actually being.
Linda, do you have it?
There was a plan submitted showing them where the location of the fence.
Yes.
Everything that I had, I put on the website.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
So
that's only a portion. Is there more than one page to that?
The only variance they need is for that portion. At the front, it's a corner lot. They're a corner lot, so you can't have a 6 foot high fence in front yard. So he's proposing a 6 foot high fence along Yellow Meeting House Road.
Right.
And according to this plan, the fence is going to be 36 feet away from edge of pavement, approximately, which is about 30 feet from property line. And within that 30 feet, apparently there's bushes and trees and all sorts of stuff. There should be an aerial that shows the trees.
Yeah, we have an aerial in the Higher Gruel and Associates. That's it.
Is it me, or do I still not see a fence on this plan?
It's in the bushes.
Do you see it says gate? Yeah, up a little. There, right there. That's the fence is right where, on either side of that gate.
They colored it yellow, so you can't see it. See the end of that 36-foot number right next to the gate? That's where the fence is.
I don't see anything.
Is it the star? Is it the...
Right, you know where it says concrete pad to the right of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little more right. There, that's an arrow that shows where the 36-foot mark is, right there.
So it would be on that point all the way down
all the way going back. That's correct. That's the fence that needs the variance.
That side. The other portions are okay.
They're all, the rest of them are conforming. And because they're a corner lot, they have two frontages. So they have this fence, the 6 foot high white vinyl fence, I believe. But apparently with all these bushes that you see, you shouldn't be able to see it.
Right.
So I'll need to correct one thing in my memo, because based on the applicant's testimony, there's two waivers that are required. The fence height that we've just been discussing, which is 6 feet. But also there's a requirement that fences in front yards shall be at least 50% open. And the applicant's testimony was that it's going to be a solid vinyl fence. These are technically waivers, not variances. So there are two waivers required associated with that fence.
Why is it, for my education, why is it a waiver versus a variance?
They're under the design standards sections instead of the zoning standards section.
Because it's in the wrong section.
It has to do with where it is in the ordinance. Yeah.
The height should be a variance, and the open stuff should be a design. But
I agree. Yeah, but that's how it's written.
So let's be clear. He's proposing a fence that's set back, a 6 foot solid fence that's set back 30 feet from their property line. That runs from
where you see a gate. See that gate?
Yeah, from the gate all the way to their back property line. Is that correct? And then correct. Up?
Then goes around the property.
So he needs a variance from where that all the way to the back property plus as far back until you get to the you get out of the front yard setback.
Correct.
And the applicant is saying the bushes would hide this entire fence from sight from the road. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. That's why he's putting it 30 feet back, because in that 30 feet, it's all vegetation, trees, and bushes.
Do we have any evidence or pictures showing me from the view of the road or the view of the neighbors that if I look that direction, I'll see only bushes?
There was an aerial.
Yeah, but aerial doesn't always, with deer eating everything, you might be able to see right through them when the deer hike.
I haven't seen deer, but I've seen people walk through the property. I confronted one person, and we've only owned the property a couple months.
Greg, am I allowed to show a Google Street View, or no, because it's not one of the submitted?
There you go, right there. Stop.
Wait, some examples.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the issue with bushes. They're not completely foolproof, or you can see through them.
Yeah, if you look, there's a row of white pines that'll be between the fence and the street to the right of the fence. They're a little sparse, but they're mature white pines that run along the road.
You could scroll if you want to scroll down some other pictures. I think they're.
Yeah.
Google Earth Street View does show it.
Yep.
And the picture we're looking at now, that is if I'm standing on the street looking into the property. And the fence is going to be behind that?
Hemlock, low bushes.
I mean, you'll see that fence through the trees, but it's definitely behind the trees.
It's quite dense and only sparse in a few areas. You picked one sparse area on the last photograph.
Is white the appropriate color?
What's the proposed color?
White.
Why is it white?
Pardon me?
White.
Why white?
Can it be a different color?
They have various colors, but the white color will blend in with my neighbor in the back. Right down to the corner.
I got you.
I think it for consistency purposes. In fact, it's the same type of fence, too, that you see in the picture.
And the reason why it can't be 4 foot, why does it have to be 6 down that area?
I said earlier, I confronted a man who came through the street, through the bushes, and was on our property when we were outside doing a little gardening. And I asked him why he was there, and he said, well, it's a shortcut. He didn't elaborate. And a 4 foot fence, I'm sitting in front of a desk right now, is about 4 feet high. It's easy for a man to hop over that fence. A 6 foot fence, I don't believe he will do that. There's security involved and privacy.
And question, what's the allowable distance? Maybe Matt can help me.
This could be right on the property line. Doesn't require setback.
The question, how far back from the property line can a 6 foot fence be?
All right.
It has to be in line with the front of the house.
Yeah, so it's roughly
62 feet.
Yeah,
on this property.
And do we have 62 feet to work with, or is that just going to go right through the back pool or something?
No, you have. It's all open. We could put a fence that's 62 feet from the property line.
But that just breaks the entire property up.
It kind of breaks some of the backyard.
Yep. Yeah.
So the front, no fence, there's no fence on the Fern Drive side. It's just along the
Yep, Meeting House Road. Mm-hmm. Yes. But there is a fence that's required near the driveway. If you look at the survey, there's a driveway and a two-car garage, and we need a fence going across that to close off the property.
Right, front from the back.
Right, and we're allowing a 5-foot fence for entry by people and 2 5-foot gates to allow machinery like a lawn cutter to go through there. On the left-hand side as you're facing the property on this survey.
But that's permitted over there.
Yes, it is.
It's not in the front yard.
Well, this is a tough one because you got the bushes, you got this, you got that, you got a half, you know, two corner lot. But I've seen white 6-foot fences and it's a lot of white. it's a lot of fence. So that's
really, if you've walked the property, there really is quite dense. You really won't see much.
Oh, I agree with you because I can see that the bushes are thick, but you know, they could die. They could be cut down. They could be blown over.
I'm into trees, so we will replace them.
Can we make that part of a condition, Greg?
No, not really, because you're never going to be able to enforce that if a tree dies on a residential piece of property. If he sells the property in a couple of years and a tree dies, you can go to the new owner and says there's a zoning board variance, you have to replace the trees. We don't even have ordinances in Millstone that prohibit you from taking down your own trees.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, so, every intention of not cutting back anything. I want trees.
Right, but a new owner could come in and just wipe out all the trees, and then you have the fence just glaring at you. But that's a possibility in the future.
End up being there a long time.
I guess the real question for the board is why can't, you know, he could do this compliant with 4 feet, even closer to the. It doesn't need to be 30 feet. It could be 20 feet. You know,
you have a dog that can hop a 4-foot fence. That's another problem. And small children and the privacy, my finding that this person walked onto the property could climb over a 4-foot fence. We have grandchildren and grandnieces and nephews who will be at the house quite often because of the pool. And I am concerned with their safety. I don't think
if he wants to get in your backyard, he could go through one of the gates. You can't put 10-foot fences along the whole property.
I'm only asking for the extra 2 feet to prevent people from walking in off the street. If someone, and we also have a security system. I believe it's called a ring. So we get an alert on a cell phone when someone is walking near the driveway, up the driveway, through the fence, through the gate. That adds to it in the front, the area where the driveway is. You can't put this ring system along the roadside of Yellow Meeting House Road. It won't cover it. So at this point, that's the only area that is prone for having people walk onto the property.
There's no sidewalk or anything on Yellow Meeting House Road, so why would be somebody walking on that road?
I didn't get an answer from the man I saw on the backyard. That's what I felt. The answer was it's a shortcut. I asked him to where.
Okay.
Once you walk onto the property.
I can't imagine what shortcut would be to the neighbor's yard.
I don't know why he was there. And then we also found masks, used masks on the property.
Wow.
I mean, people were using it to cross over.
Yeah. You said you found masks in the back of people crossing over.
Is there any other properties on that road that have 6-foot fences in their front yard?
Right behind us. Towards the back of the property. The first house.
Behind you is Upper Freehold Township.
Not Millstone.
Hmm? All right. Well, I guess to move this along, I guess let's open this, unless there's more testimony, I'd like to open this up to the public and see if there's anyone who would like to comment, any neighbors that are close by. So if that's okay, Greg, I think that's what, okay. So at 9:25, I'd like to open up this applicant to the public. I see, I'm sorry, your last name, your Joe, is that is your first
that's
name?
That's correct, that's correct.
Greg, you want to swear him in?
Yes, sir, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give is the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, and please tell us where you live as compared to the subject property so we know where you live.
Certainly. First name is Joe. Last name is D-O-N-O-F-R-I-O. And I live directly across the property in question.
Okay, you're on the other on the other side of yellow.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. You can make any comments or questions right now.
Yes, actually, first of all, I'd like to, I never met my neighbor. I'd like to welcome to the neighborhood first and foremost. And actually, I'm kind of concerned. We've been here for 20 years. Putting a 6-foot fence surrounding the property is actually not what we have here in Millstone. I understand his concern for privacy, and I do respect that. However, I do oppose the 6-foot fence only because it makes me feel like I'm living in an area where, you know, it's no longer Millstone. I think not only that, but I think there's there may be some questions with the line of sight. All right. I do not object to him installing a fence that the zoning allows at this time, but I do object a variance of 6 foot. Mm-hmm. So actually, I'm sorry.
Do you have anything else, sir?
Yeah, actually, apparently, the paper that I read, apparently he says that he plans to enclose the entire property. So is the 6-foot, the question I have, is the 6-foot fencing going on the entire property or just on one side, on Yellow Meeting House?
Not the front of the house.
First of all, the line of sight is nowhere near where the fence will be. Secondly, do you agree that the foliage that exists there now is quite dense?
Yes, I do.
The only thing that I would object that I take exception to what you said is the fact that the replacement of the trees is something that's first and foremost. There's nothing to replace at this point, if you will agree.
That was never my concern. The question I had was, due to the fact that, it states that the entire yard would be fenced in. So my question is, would the entire property be fenced with a 6-foot fence along the front, on the side, and in the back?
The other three sides of the property, it's within the ordinance. You're allowed a 6-foot fence. So for consistency, you'd have a 6-foot fence around. We have dogs that we're allowing to roam around. You've got grandchildren that we're concerned with.
The answer is yes, right? They're on the entire property.
No, not on Fern Drive front. Nothing on a Fern Drive.
It goes across to the house, no?
From the back of the house, going all the way back.
Back of the house has a 6-foot fence.
Comes out toward Yellow Meeting House and it goes all the way back.
Right. And you really will not see that fence. I think you will agree if you're across the street.
Can we get back to you? And I asked the question of what other houses have fences in the front yard? Which house do you say have a fence in the front yard?
The one right behind us.
That's
the upper freehold.
In Rolling Meadows Court?
Yes.
Okay, how far is that fence from the street?
I don't know.
Well, is it?
It's consistent with what we're looking to put up. In fact, we're further in on our property, not near the streets, further back from the street.
When we say front yard, are we talking about in line with the house? You know, parallel
or in line with the house itself, or are we going beyond that towards the street?
Anthony, can you hold on for 1 second? I just got a text from the chairman who's not here anymore.
Okay.
So why don't we hold off on that question? He just got lost connection.
Yeah. So now I don't I'm not clear on exactly where this fence is being requested.
Maybe if you look at the map.
Hold on. Stop talking. Let's wait for the chairman to get back. And can we, Mr. Morris, can you pull up the full survey again? And we'll wait for the chairman to come back.
Survey should be up.
Okay.
Can someone point out where the fence is proposed along the Fern Drive side of the house, the front of the house?
Do you see that 62 feet from the house?
Could you, Mr. Morris, can you zoom in to the 62-foot right side of the home, please? I think Steve's back. Hold on. Let's wait for him, then we can continue conversation.
Sorry about that. I'm back. Internet, lovely internet in Millstone.
So you see that 62 feet next to the concrete pad?
Right.
Right.
The fence, the way I see it, starts from near that concrete pad, goes toward Yale Meeting House Road for about 30 or 32 feet.
Right.
Then it goes all the way back to the back property line.
Okay. So why are there two lines with 62.1? What is that?
That's their front yard setback on Yellow Meeting House Road. That's what that 62 is. So they're going 30 feet that way because the other 30 feet is all trees and bushes and stuff.
Okay. So it goes to the back of the property and then
goes around the property.
Around the property.
Comes back out and goes right back where that deck is almost.
Ugh. Can I ask you a question? Is all those bushes in the area that's dedicated for road widening?
Beyond that, it's road widening area plus another 30, 40 feet.
So, Matt, where is the fence on the left side of the house?
You see where it says Trex Deck?
Right.
It goes from there to the left and goes all the way back.
Okay.
Back of the house, yes.
Yeah,
it's not on this plan. It's not on this drawing, right?
No, right. It's not shown on this drawing. But those are all permitted. The only thing that's not permitted is what's proposed in front of Yellow Meeting House. You can have 4 feet high fence, 50% open. He wants to go 6 foot high, 100% closed.
Okay. On the left and right side you're talking about, right?
Just on the right side.
On the right. Well, just he's doing the whole thing, but the right side is what the variance is.
The right side's the only issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I had one question. Are there power lines that run along that Yellow Meeting House Road as well?
Yes.
Yes.
And are they right below the buffer trees that we're talking about?
No, they're right on the road side, right where the blacktop is.
Mm-hmm. Right by the trees.
The plan actually shows the utility poles right on the property line.
Matt or McKinley, if we were to grant this, there's a lot of different reasons you grant variances for setbacks on corner lots and things, but if we were to grant this, then couldn't other people who want something similar just say, hey, you granted it over here, why can't you grant it for me? Like, how do you differentiate something like this besides he just wants a higher fence? There's not much, we talked a little bit positives and the negatives, right? I mean, how do you differentiate?
So from a land use perspective, and I'll have maybe Greg can back me up on this. The decisions made for one application do not have bearing on the next application. They do not set a precedence, and that's because every application has to be viewed independently based on the conditions and qualities that are associated with the site. If you were to grant this application, or conversely, if you were to deny this application, it would not kind of quote unquote set the stage or set the standard for the next fence application that were to come in.
Well, yeah, Mackenzie's absolutely correct. You know, but you have to look at it as every application stands on its own. But the relief request, the relief requested here is, and the reason is, I'm a corner lot. I want a 6-foot solid fence for safety reasons. And there's bushes in front. Maybe no one will see it. Every corner lot in Millstone can make the same argument.
Right.
There's nothing they could say. I'll plant bushes. I want security. Give me my 6-foot fence within the front in the front yard setback.
I do agree with what Greg said. Yeah.
I mean that's why we grant. That's why you have a C1 variance, which is what's unique about this property that's different from what the town perceived the lots were when they drafted these ordinances. Because, you know, typical variances are based on a 2-acre lot. If your lot is not a rectangle and it's weird, that's unique. And then there's the C2 variance was, hey, if I complied with the law, my plan is better than that for various reasons. And it's supported by the initial land use. That's what the C2 variance is. That it's a better plan than the stringent requirements of the ordinance.
But Greg, I guess we're not really talking about variances because they're waivers, there's a different set of criteria.
And this is a waiver. So the question is, what is the hardship on the applicant? Because it's a hardship.
Yeah.
What's the hardship for complying with the design waivers? What's the hardship of the applicant from installing a 4-foot, 50% wide fence in the front yard setback as compared to what he wants is a 6-foot setback?
What's the hardship? That hardship is really the word the board should concentrate on.
And shouldn't we also consider like the town decided 4-foot, they decided openness for a reason. Did we have any history there or statements of we want this because or – and when did it happen? I thought 6-foot was – when did it change to 4-foot? Was that recent or has that been in a while?
We never had a fence ordinance.
Until?
2000. Until we had a fence ordinance, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago?
It's dated 2013.
Yeah, so it's not that old.
Before that, we had no fence ordinance.
And if he was put up, say, like a 6-foot horse fence or something that you see horse fences all the time around the town, we would still have to approve the 6-foot, right?
What's the question?
If he was, say, I want to put like a horse fence, you know, that you see around town, the black ones or even the white ones you see all around town,
but
it has to be a 6-foot. Is that still, that's still a variance or still, you'd have to come in front of us, right?
I believe the ordinance permits enclosures for horse paddocks and stuff. And again, and that fence is not 100% closed. It's just, you know, some right. couple of
pieces. Yeah. There's a separate ordinance for that, because it's a special, it's a totally different circumstance. Obviously horses can jump much higher than other individuals, creatures, what have you, but it does still have to be open, as Matt said.
And what about our architectural standards that we have for all the homes and things, white fences, fully, you know, vinyl, that's permissible? 4-foot?
Yeah, they're specific, you know, in terms of materials, it prohibits chain link and barbed wire. There's not, I'm just double checking to make sure I didn't miss anything, but, it is not regulating color or material beyond the two I just listed.
Okay, thank you.
So would that mean that the entire perimeter needs to be 50% open? Or just for that front? Just for that front?
Just the front yard.
Because it's in the front yard setback. Once it gets behind the house, mm-hmm. it can be 6 feet solid.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the real question. It's the front yard on a corner lot. That's the real, but yeah, that's the real issue here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could tell you from personal experience, I live on a second house in from a corner, and the person or the family that previously owned the house on the corner lot, they've since moved. They put a 6 foot PVC fence around the entire perimeter, similar to what this applicant is asking. And it made the property look like a fortress. It completely changed the design of or the look of the entire block. You came, you turned the corner, and you saw this big white wall, and it changed wildlife patterns. Mm-hmm. It changed what we feel now, because the fence is now the new owner has taken it down. There's a whole different breezeway, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just an entire view of the property and the corner has changed considerably since they've taken it down.
25 feet of depth in bushes, trees, low-lying foliage. Is the same situation in that house? You will not see the fence from the road.
I will.
Mm-hmm. Well, the left, your left side is exposed, mm-hmm. correct?
The whole front, the front of Fern Drive will be exposed, yeah.
Exactly, right. Correct.
Right.
But I'm speaking strictly of the Yellow Meeting House Road. If you're on Yellow Meeting House Road and you walk along the side of the road, you can't see in because you do have 20, 25 feet of depth, all foliage.
And but we're putting the what, beyond it that. Gets back to the point, the fact that whether you see it or not, and whether those bushes will be there or not, what is the hardship for you doing a 4 foot? You have to prove to us.
Now I have a dog that would hop the 4 foot fence.
It's not a hardship. You have to show
the property.
What's the hardship? Why you? What? Why?
The man I found on the property.
That's what I found. So he got through the bushes that you can't see through.
Right, and he could walk over. Exactly, you could walk through it. And then you have a 4 foot fence under this proposal. He can hop over the 4 foot fence. I'm 6'5". I would have no trouble.
Oh, you can even move.
I don't know that you're going to stop anybody that mm-hmm. has a desire to jump over a fence. You could have teenagers that could vault a 6 foot fence in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Current.
You want the dog
around? Pardon me?
Okay, I don't know if we're going any further. Is there anyone else in the public? Maybe we could go to that and close the public, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Greg. I didn't know. I was unaware if we were closed out or not when I was offline.
No, we stopped everything while you were offline.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. So, seeing no one else from the public, I think we'll close the public portion then at 9:44 p.m. All right. And I guess then any other closing comments you'd like to make?
The neighbors can hit it off.
Mm-hmm. Helen? I'm sorry?
I have nothing further to say.
Sorry, I'm having a tough time hearing you.
We have nothing else to add. We have nothing else to add.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Helen. All right, Mr. Chair, board discussion at this point.
Yes. Anyone from the board would like to, I think I heard, we heard from Mr. Conicente. Anyone else like to make some comments to help us guide what we should do?
Yeah, I actually live right on Red Valley. I'm right by Yellow Meeting House. I know exactly the location. I know the family that actually lives next door. My only thing is the concern about the fence and just the view from the street and from the neighbors around. I know that's a wide open area and I'm familiar with the other houses. There's not too many fences. There's nothing set up, real close to the front of the yard. It's almost a, I'd hate to say an open neighborhood, but it's definitely, something I'm familiar with that it just wouldn't feel right in that area. But, I don't know if anyone has any other ideas based on the testimonies.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Magano. I know exactly what you're saying. I've been through other neighborhoods, not this one, where I've seen people, like one guy or maybe two guys would have a white fence and everyone else wouldn't. And it just doesn't fit right. It doesn't look right. My property, to keep animals out, I put a deer fence, a horse fence up, and it fits the look of Millstone. So it works and it keeps people out and keeps dogs out, and nobody seems to come near my property. So I'm not really in favor of a giant white fence fortress looking thing. I just don't think it fits fits Millstone and it fits the town.
Mm-hmm. So wooden fence?
Mine's wooden, yeah.
Yep, you would. Steve asked if you'd accept a wooden fence. Or beige vinyl. That blends in with the foliage.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
If you were gonna go the horse fence, you could do horse fencing with no climb wire on it. Would keep your dogs mm-hmm. in, keep everybody out, and you see right through it. It would be, you know, wooden fence, wooden top, and then no climb wire on the posts. That's I
board on board as a board on board fence.
Well, yeah, I'm saying a post single board wire on the bottom. I mean, that's it.
That's the hesitation is more about it looking as if it's almost as if it's a wall. I think that's where we're more hesitant on what's going on. We don't want it to seem like you're creating a fortress on the corner. I know you want to protect your property, but, I think it's just the open viewing of just the whole property would be best.
And I wish they didn't specify color. I mean, the white is, I mean, I know you are offering other colors, but yeah, white is tough. There's really no way to hide, you know, you wouldn't be able to hide, you know, the 75% of it or the 65% of it.
What about a brown vinyl fence? Any objections to that?
Well, listen, we're not here to negotiate your application. Your application is your application. The issue is a 6-foot solid fence in the front setback, but the design requirement's 4-foot and open. It's white is a factor of it all, but the reality is, what's the hardship for a complying with the standards that are imposed on every other resident within our municipality?
Right, you're correct. If you accept the 6-foot with conditions that would alleviate whatever those other problems are, however, that's a possibility. I'm not saying you're going to do that, but you could do that. You understand? I mean,
But I think the board is struggling with the height as compared to the color.
I understand that. But if some of the other factors make a difference, you can make a condition that would alleviate whatever the problem is.
Mr. Howland, you're absolutely correct.
I don't know. Any other comments out there, just so we can get a little more consensus? I've gotten a few people thoughts. Any other? Mr. Lambros, you've been quiet.
Well, there seems to be a consensus among some of the people that a solid fence at 6-foot white is a little obtrusive, even though it's behind the tall vegetation. I mean, I live on a corner lot, and there's no added a, it's a pretty big subdivision too. It's 50 homes and none of them are surrounded by a solid, fence. There's a lot of fencing in a neighborhood because there's a lot of pools. Some of them are fenced. Some have the yard fence, some have the pool fence, but none of them are solid. So I can't, I guess I would have to agree with Mr. Conoscenti in the neighborhood he lives in. It probably is uncharacteristic. And it, and even more so out on Yellow Meeting House Road where it's more farmland looking than a lot of places in Millstone. So maybe a big tall white fence is out of character for that area. And even though it exists in Upper Freehold right across the border, does not mean that it's right for Millstone. So I don't know. Maybe a shorter, more compliant fence might be something that the applicant should consider.
That's a lot.
Well, Greg, like you say, we're not really here to negotiate. We're here to determine this particular application with this particular fence. Can we give guidance? And then if it's not.
We always give guidance. I think it's clear what the guidance is. You know, if Mr. Halloran can, you know, wants to mute and speak to his client and he's more than able to amend the application, you know, and suggest A, B, C, and D, of course he's allowed to do that and the board can consider that. But I don't want, you know, we've given the guidance in the comments. I don't like saying, what about this?
Right, exactly.
How about this? What's that? We might as well just design it and tell him this is what we want, but that's not our job.
But if he decides to just put 4 foot on that one section, then we don't matter anymore, right?
No, if he comply, if for that small section he's here, if he does 4 foot, 50% open, he doesn't need a variance. He could modify his application. I'll give you an example. He could say, hey, how would I do 4 foot but solid? Okay. Can I have the design waiver for the solid as compared to the height? That doesn't meet, and then the question goes, what's the hardship of doing 50%? But that's up to him to decide what he wants to do. We're not here to force people to do things. But that's for Mr. Halloran and his client to discuss that.
Right, so he could put 4 foot on Yellow Meeting Road and put 6 foot everywhere else, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's assuming the board agrees that it shouldn't be 50% open.
Oh, right. It has to still be 50% open.
There's still a deviation there. And the board could say, you know what, it's 4 foot better, whether it's 50% or not, but it can't be white. Then you can have that discussion. But that's the applicant has to tell us what he wants to do. We're not here to design.
All right, so all right, Mr. Halloran,
Why don't we give Mr. Halloran a couple seconds? He can mute himself and discuss with his client and see if he wants to proceed with the application proposed. If so, we will vote, or if he wants to amend his application, and then we could discuss and vote.
Fair enough. Mr. Allen, would you like to do that, or would you like to just keep the proposal as is?
Started to mute myself, and I will, and I'll come back in a minute, okay?
Yes. Okay. You got it, Vince. He just muted himself.
He looks like he lost internet connection also.
Yeah.
So when is the next meeting? Next month?
Are we going public next month?
Are we going in person? Or are we staying down?
How do we decide? Can we just vote as a board, or how does that work? Do we have to get town permission?
I don't know.
I guess the question becomes is, one, is the building that we go to open to the public? For us to
have right, so then we have to get some knowledge before we can even make up our mind.
Right, because I mean it's a state police there, right?
They're there. Yep.
So yeah. you guys normally meet at the courthouse on Millstone Road?
Yes.
So we've been having our environmental commission meetings in person pretty much the whole time through COVID. There's been about four of us that have been going there. So I know the building's been open.
Is it open to the public though? Well, Is like your meetings open to the public that I can just show up?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Then also, I think the Township Committee has their meetings there, and residents do come to their meetings in the courthouse.
Well, then then we have the location. Is now whether the board members want to do it in person or not.
Can we do a hybrid if there are any board members that are uncomfortable? We can meet there and they can zoom in with some computer somehow. Is that an option?
Not really. We don't have the technology for a hybrid. I've had this exact same conversation in Middletown Monday night. We just don't have the ability for microphones and cameras to video record the board members, the witnesses and the exhibits and everyone here, plus have members of the public zoom into that on some camera, and hear everything. We just don't have the technology. I mean, it can be done. It's going to cost the municipality thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to orchestrate something like that.
Yeah, I actually agree. Doing the hybrid with the EC, there were about four or five of us that would actually go to the building and then the rest would log on. And we had public log on and both come in person, and we had terrible issues of being able to hear each other through Zoom, hearing the public talk. It was a disaster.
Yeah, that's my experience as well. We've tried it with professionals. There's not enough. The microphones don't coordinate and the cameras don't coordinate. Right. So
I had a quick conversation with Mike about a week ago before he left on vacation. He was hopeful we could get back together live, but he had the same questions whether we were allowed to or not. So if we're allowed to, I would personally like to go back live because as you saw me drop out, I just hate it. So that's where I would like to go. If there's anyone that wants to object, you know, please speak up.
We had a conversation like this at the last meeting, and I thought it was something we were going to work toward to come back live. But I also thought we discussed that if there was a meeting and the only piece of business was a resolution for a previous application from the previous meeting, that and it was only going to take 5 minutes, then we could do a Zoom meeting remotely, pass the resolution, and then sign off.
Absolutely.
Nobody has to go to the meeting hall.
Absolutely.
No, it's a great piece of technology for something like that, where we all just go in our basement for 2 minutes and get the business done. But on an actual application like tonight's meeting, you know, that would be in person.
Well, my question is once we do that, can we alternate back and forth in the event that we do that? There's nothing that restricts that, right?
Nope. As long as the applicants properly notice and we properly notice, we can.
Okay, cool.
We may go in person and you may not like it. You may be like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable. Let's go back.
Okay. You know, well, I see Mr. Hallett, he's back. Let's finish up this application, then we'll finish up this conversation afterwards. Vince, you there?
So I think we're having, yeah, there he is.
Where the variance is required, they're agreeable to go with the four foot fence.
Vince, you're going to have to start over. We didn't hear a word you said.
All I said was I consulted with my client. And he's agreeable to go with the 4 foot, but he'd like to keep the solid fence. And the dogs won't be able to get out as easily from the solid
what
fence.
What color? Still white?
Still white, but if you're hung up on that, you know.
No,
what color you want?
Is color the issue?
I don't think color was an issue.
I don't think color is an issue. No. Okay, so let's stick with that. We'll do 4 foot. On Yellow Meeting Road, you keep everything solid around the entire perimeter, and that's the applicant.
And 4 foot where it's required.
4 foot where it's required, okay.
But we don't need
all right. Balance. Members of the board, the applicant has voluntarily modified the application. To modify his application from a 6 foot high, fully solid fence to a 4 foot high fence, fully solid. So there's only one design waiver requested, which is the solid portion of the fence. Again, it's going to be 30 feet back from that portion to the back and across, then 6 foot where permitted by law.
Greg, of course, the existing conditions that the planner pointed out, we'd want to, you know, verify the variances on that. Remember, she
pointed out, the other size lot stuff.
I think that goes without saying, but, you know.
Yeah.
The same thing as the previous application.
Exactly. This is the meat on the bone.
By the way, there might be somewhere where that was granted. I don't know how they did it back at the time, but see that as a
fact. I think before 2003, it was required.
Right, hold on for a second. We lost our chairman again.
No, he's there.
He's there. Frozen.
Well, maybe his picture's there, but he's not there.
He texted me out again.
Okay.
You guys got a storm over there or something?
No, it's
the only one.
It's Millstone.
What is the lot area here? 2.9 acres, McKinley?
Let me pull back up. I have it in square feet. They're required to have 130,000. They have 127,979 square feet.
Well, they're less than 130. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, they're close, but just a little under. Honestly, the lot width is only like 9 feet deficient too. It's kind of a strange. They're supposed to have 250. They have 241.73.
I didn't do it.
And while I'm listing them, the front yard setback is supposed to be 75. They have 62.1.
Now you said they're on 130. They're on R130, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I
said. Matt, do you think they even considered that stuff variances way back then, or they just like gave them away?
At the time of the subdivision, you know, sometimes they give you open space as part of the subdivision. And then they reduced the lot areas. I've seen those subdivisions.
It might have been a lot averaging, but we don't have any kind of.
No, I think if you went in every subdivision in Millstone Township, you'll find dozens of variances.
I know.
Frontages and.
20 years ago, this could have been an R80 zone. They rezoned it to R130. I've seen it. I always question it. It's like, why would you all make it a 3-acre zone? Everything is 2 acres here. So,
yeah. So this will just formalize it. So if anything happens to their property, they won't have to come back with those existing issues.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get this done really fast.
hey, Steve, I don't know where you were. The applicant, were you here when the applicant modified his plans?
Yes. We're talking about 4-foot and closed fence. Yes.
Okay, that's right after that. Is that your IT guy that walked by?
Yeah, my young IT guy.
Okay, it's your discussion on the board at this point, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thanks. Open for discussion. I think I've given my viewpoints. Anyone else wanted to say anything final?
Do we open to the public again?
We can. Mr. D'Onofrio, any comments since you're the only member of the public?
Yes. I don't want the property to look like a fortress. All right. I've been living here for over 20 years. Zoning allows as ordinances, whatever zoning allows, I can't stop it. However, I definitely object to a closed fencing, because it's going to look like a fortress. I feel like I'm living in Camden or Newark or, any other city like that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
If I may, where's the fence coming across in front of the house, if I may ask?
In the back of the house.
The back of the house.
It's not.
The back of the house. Okay. So in other words, he's actually in line with the pool. Is that what it is? Where the back is? Yeah.
Wherever the back of the house is, from there he comes toward Yellow Meeting House Road.
And on the other side?
Same.
He's going all the way to the back proper line.
Totally. I know. Okay. But in other words, I'm saying on the left side, where's the fence starting off his house, on the left side of the house?
Back of the driveway, right near the pool.
Back of the driveway. Nothing in front of the house on front drive.
In the middle of their house.
I get it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments from the any members of the board? Okay. Hearing none, I'd like if somebody on the board could then. Well, Greg, do you want? Is there any other additions?
Nope. I have no conditions on this one, Mr. Chairman.
Conditions. Okay. So then I'd like somebody on the board to then either approve or deny this applicant, where we're talking about a 6-foot fence on where it's legal, where it's allowed to all the way around the house, except for the where yellow meeting is, will be 4-foot solid. And we can have approval of that or deny.
I'd make a motion to deny, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Conocente. Can I have a second?
I second to deny.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrara. Okay, can we have a call? Vote.
Vice Chairman Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Conocente?
Yes is to time out. A yes is to deny. Is
to deny, yes.
Okay, so let's make sure.
Mr. Conocente?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara?
Yes, to deny.
Mr. Lambrose?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mangiano?
Yes.
Ms. Zabrowski?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so go ahead, Greg.
The application has been denied. I'll draft a resolution for the next meeting. You can obviously amend your application to comply with the ordinance and get your building permit for a fence. Or appeal. Okay, Steve, I think we're done for the night.
All right, so sorry about my dropping out, which is why the main reason why I'd like to meet in person. Did we vote on that already, or did I can we do that now?
We don't need a formal vote. Is everyone in favor of August being in person?
Do we have anything, anyone coming in front of us in August?
I think right now we only have these three resolutions, right, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Sorry. All right. Then let's plan on September then.
Okay. So right now we'll say we'll do a Zoom on August for these resolutions. Unless something changes, Linda, we'll hear about that. And then September will be our first back in building meeting, unless things change going forward. Very good. All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make it.
Great.
Second. I'll second it.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for your time and your patience with my connections, and we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks, bye. Steve.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Drive carefully.